What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 5 of the Save Data Cast. I'm your host, David, and joining me today to talk about all things video games, first off, is Zach in front of his glorious green screen.
You know what time it is? It's Modelo time. Hold on.
Could I chroma key out his background? I could. Also joining me is... I won't do it at all. Also joining me is the king of Super Smash Brothers, Chris.
I don't have a beer this episode, but here's the ones from last night. I'm not drinking tonight. Too many podcasts.
I'm also joined by the ace actual lawyer, Pritch. I almost said Chris again.
Sorry, I got an upgrade.
Let's see how well I measure up today's topic.
Ooh, fun.
That's excellent. If it's your first time joining us,
it's really not. I just look for the first thing on my desk that I can make a joke out of.
It was sarcasm, but moving on.
Thank you.
A winner is you. Excellent. I don't see the top half. Top half's cut off. If that was important,
That's all you need to
okay,
say.
Excellent. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. This is Save Data Cast, where we talk all things video games from. Not usually reviews, but sometimes to what we've been playing, to topics of the show that ranged video game topics. Today's is video games and how our tastes in them have changed over time and how everyone's tastes in them have changed over time. Should be an entertaining topic for the day. Before we get into any of that, though, we've got our Fantasy Critic updates. So if you're not familiar, Fantasy Critic, it's... Fantasy any sport, but for video games, where it takes open critic scores, and that's your team. You get points based off of that. It's a fun time. Totally recommend checking it out, fantasycritic.games. Quick update. Since our last episode, Zach's team, Rectangle Enix, has dropped Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin.
Yeah, not feeling too confident in that game.
Not feeling that one. And Zach has picked up Shovel Knight Dig with a bid of $1.
Am feeling good about that game. And they've announced that it's probably coming very soon. So
yeah, that's cool.
I assume we'll get a preview about it first, and then I can decide if I want to drop that game again or not.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Polite Cat LLC, which is our one and only Pridge. Drop Gran Turismo 7, that got delayed. Good choice on that one. Picked up Mario Golf Super Rush with a bit of only $2. Well
Absolute
done on that,
bastard.
Pridge. Well done.
Wait, really?
I also bid $2, but he put it in first, so he got it.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
Let's see. Big Games, run by Chris here, picked up Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion. Excellent.
Right.
Excellent pickup. And I think
also Bravely Default 2 score has gone down since last time we did the show. By 1 point. But
I'll cover that in a minute. I'm just doing pickups first.
Okay, sorry.
And I have picked up 2 games for Quadruple Adequate Games. I picked up Sifu with a bit of $1 and Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl with a bit of $23. Because I was afraid other people were gonna take that.
Are you worried about the amount of water that's going to be in that game?
I totally
overwhelmingly concerned
in my head. I made the league for the disc, the community, so that they couldn't pick games that have already, like, remakes, remasters. I forgot that does not apply to us, or else I would have.
We literally talked about it before I bet on it.
I know.
Also, it's a top to bottom remake, so I think that counts. Even if
it's a complete remake. It's not a remaster.
Sifu was a very smart pick because, like, Absolver kicks absolute ass, and Absolver with better story, and it's just old boy. Ding!
Absolver with a story,
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of games that have gotten reviewed, as Chris alluded to earlier, Bravely Default's review has gone down to a 78. Sad for him. And Elise has managed to pick up games that only have a score of 72. With Maquette and Stronghold Warlords both picking up scores of 72, along with her existing Honey Pop 2 Double Date 72, which honestly, if she gets all 72s, more impressive than winning. Legitimately,
absolutely
impressive than winning.
Oh, absolutely. if Elise can pick up two more games that score exactly a 72, I will send her a pizza in whatever pizza companies they have in Canada.
72 pizzas.
Get her one from Garfield place.
I think it is.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They did.
We'll make a 72 emote for the Discord.
5830 can rest in peace.
Yeah, nobody gets that joke anymore. It's too old.
We just got to bring it back again. That's going to do our Fantasy Critic update. So what I want to know is, Zach, what you been playing?
I actually have several games to talk about, mostly because I wasn't on last week. But I did play Maquette. 72 is a very good score for that game. I was sadly not... It didn't do it for me, and I'm a huge like first-person puzzle guy. Two of my favorite games probably of all time are both The Witness and The Talos Principle. I mean, when I say favorite games, I mean of all time, I mean probably my top 50. But like, yeah, both those games are fan-freaking-tastic. And this game, it starts off doing some cool new things for the genre, like very much like Edith Finch. It has like the text that like pops up in 3D space, and it has voiceovers to accompany it. The game is a story about a relationship that fails, and then kind of the fallout and recovery of that, like a relationship that blossoms, lives through its like honeymoon phase, and then starts to fall apart, fails, and then like the aftermath of that. The voiceovers are particularly good. The female in the relationship is voiced by Bryce Dallas Howard, which is great.
Oh,
I could not tell you the name of the male voice actor, but he also does a great job. But they, like, it starts off and you're walking through this cool vista and this fucking banger of a song starts coming on and you're like, oh, this game has a lot more personality than I thought like this first person puzzle game would have. And then you're in this area where you're doing these puzzles, and the song ends, and then no new music comes to replace it, and you're just left with quiet thoughts and introspection while you solve the puzzle. And there's about 7 chapters to the game, I think, and each of them does the same thing where it's like you'll get a little bit of dialogue, you'll get this song that is usually pretty good, and then, yeah, like the chapters will take, depending on your speed with the puzzles, upwards of like 30 minutes. And so like you finish, the song ends within the first 3 minutes and you're like, okay, well, it's just quiet now.
there's no additional music. It's just
no. And like part of it's fine. Part of it's totally fine. I honestly, what bugged me with it was there was one particular section where the game, I did something that essentially broke the game. Like the puzzle piece I needed fell out of bounds and I could not grab it. So I was like, oh, I'll reload a checkpoint. And it took me back to the start of the chapter, which was like good. It wasn't a nightmare because once you know how to do the puzzles, you can move through the game pretty quickly. But it definitely was like, I lost 5 minutes and that happened twice in a row. And I was like, wow, I'm pretty pissed right now. And then hearing that same song again and then just hear it end and stop. And I was like, man, fuck this. Apparently, they have patched that, and so it's a lot better. Again, this game is free on PlayStation Plus. So therefore, I say it's worth a checkout. I feel like there are some moments where it definitely hits an emotional point that does land, particularly in the like recovery moment of like a relationship. And the some of the puzzles are very cool. It plays a lot with like perspective and like size of things, and it does keep reinventing itself quick enough that it is doing it's interesting, but there are some puzzles where I'm like, fuck you, I never would have got this if I didn't look it up. And I played it in one sitting, so it was like under 4 hours, probably like 3.5. It just this thing where like it got to be after like midnight and I was like, I just kind of want to stop playing this game. So for the last like 3 chapters, I looked up a lot of the puzzles and I was like, okay, I feel like I got my time's worth. But it was fine. Yeah, 72, again, it's a free game if you have PlayStation Plus. That's probably the only way I'd recommend
it. It's only free for PS5 though, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Sorry, Chris.
Is it still on PS4?
No, I think the redeemable version is PS5. But the base game is on PS4, though, yes.
Then that's bullshit.
That is bullshit.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I think it's just Sony has basically said, at least for the meantime, they're going to do one extra free game if you have a PS5 with PS Plus.
Okay, yeah. I kind of get that. But I also can't buy one because you don't have any of them, Sony. So it's not my fault. I would give you the money if you permitted me.
Yeah. Taco Sensei in the chat says this game sounds like it's a little unfinished. To me, it feels like, because it was made by a small indie studio, it feels like they thought the game was ready to go, but they probably didn't have enough playtesting for it. And then once it got into the wild as a PlayStation Plus game, where literally, you know, all these people can play the game for free, a lot of stuff was like, oh, shit. You can do this to break the game.
Is this their first game?
Oh, I could not tell.
I'll check real quick.
Thank you. I'll start talking about the next game.
This is their debut game for debut? Graceful Decay. Okay, cool. Yeah.
What's the name of the studio?
Graceful Decay.
That's a great name.
Great name.
Sounds like a Magic the Gathering card.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Be like a green and dark energy. Anyways, green and black.
Black?
Thinking Pokemon types. I don't know if I talked about it on the show, Paradise Killer.
Oh, right.
Not with us. Maybe not with us, on Sub-Pixie?
Yeah, I finished it. It is very cool. Again, it's the thing where, like, it does a lot of great stuff. It's in that, like, murder mystery genre, like your Phoenix Wrights, like your Danganronpas. It does some things that sets it apart that I really like, but it also has a ton of pitfalls, and it makes it sometimes hard to recommend. The art is amazing. The soundtrack fucking slaps. The character design is great. It is an open world exploration game. Surprising no one, the open world exploration is the worst part of the game. Walking around, like talking to the people and finding out the mystery is great. Having to walk 5 minutes to talk to the guy who you think did it and be like, hey, did you do it? Fucking sucks ass. This game does have a, it does have a fast travel system.
Okay.
However, you have to pay money to unlock different fast travel points, and you have to pay money to then fast travel, because it's like there's somebody who's a taxi driver, and
okay,
drive
in game money, not
in game money, yeah. But and here's the thing: in order to find the money, you have to find it in the real world, or find it in the game world.
Okay, and I was like, well, hold on, you're adding some ARG bullshit that I
no. You have to find it, and the fucking there, you need some money in order to actually progress, because there are certain upgrades to your character that you have to pay money to get. So like there comes a certain point where I was like, well, I'm not fucking spending anything. And like I ended the game with like a decent plethora, but like there just came a certain point where I was like, I cannot be bothered to fucking walk around this world anymore. I've seen every fucking square inch. I'm so tired of it. The map is just a little too big. That's the problem.
I think I read somewhere that game has like all the endings are valid.
Yes. That is probably, apart from the open world thing, which succeeds and fails in multiple ways, that is the coolest thing about it, is literally, the world building is also fantastic. The world that this game creates is something that is worth exploring and learning about and hearing about. Because it's
also very horny.
It's also very horny, which is, again, excellent. But the ending of the game, so you're hired as this investigator to figure out who killed these four people on this island. And there's like this judge character, and they're like, whenever you are ready, come back here. And you can literally take two steps away and take two steps back and be like, I'm ready to do the trial right now. And you can come in and have no fucking information and just be like, yeah, I don't know who did it. Whoops. And then, like, that's the game. And it doesn't chastise you for that. Obviously, there is like a canon ending of like,
oh, okay. Okay.
If you find out all of the truths, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to say it, but like several people are culpable in different ways for what happens. And you can accuse them of different crimes or like absences of doing the right thing. But it's really cool. There is like a lot of like really great mystery moments, but there were, because it is open world, the pacing of the game is what you make of it. I had one point where there was probably 3 hours of the game where I was like, I am so fucking bored and pulled out because I'm not finding any great new information. And then like there was a rush of like 2 hours where I was like, holy shit, this is killing it for me. So yeah, I'm excited to see what they do next, this team, because they both have, it was two guys, and they both worked at great studios before this. Mm-hmm. I think I would love to pick their brains and be like, what did you learn from this? What did work and what didn't work for you?
We got 25,000 subs, call them.
I really should do that.
when's Paradise Killer with an actual killer?
With Paradise Killer in an actual paradise, and we're just drinking Mai Tais on the beach.
we're just in like Cuba, just hanging out on the beach.
That's fucking good. I like that.
I love the idea of going to a place to play a video game.
We can fake it.
We spent large amounts of money for plane tickets and hotel at this beautiful resort. Yeah. We're going to play a Steam game
in Oahu, Hawaii.
Oahu. And last but not least, my current game of the year, Loop Hero. This game fucking kicks so much ass. Again, it's very much not a David game. It's very much a Zach game. It is a roguelike, somewhat of an idle game. It's very unique. It's hard to completely describe the conceit of the game. It is very much like, yeah. Also, it's a bad title, just straight up.
It's a bad title.
You are walking around a circle. You have a town where like you build, and that essentially is your upgrade tree that carries with you throughout your runs. But you're fighting monsters, collecting resources, and every time you fight a monster, you get a card, which can either be an equipment piece for your character, which will have upgrades. It can be like, you know, different levels of rarity, different levels. As you fight these things, fight these monsters, they can also give you like land cards, and you can play the land cards down onto the playing field where your character is just walking around in a loop. A lot of the cards have synergies. If you put a vampire mansion next to a village, it becomes like a ransacked village where all of the humans there have become ghouls, and they're way fucking hard. But if you can get through three loops of it becoming the ransacked village, all of a sudden becomes the count's village, and you get like way more health every time you pass through it, and you get way better loot every time you pass through it. So there are so many of these that like you don't find out until you're like playing the game, and the game trusts you to be smart. The game is fantastic. I've put probably 40 hours into it, and I absolutely adore it. It's so much fun.
Good question from Joe in the chat. How long does a run of Loop Hero take?
So that's the problem.
Oh no.
It's one of those.
No, like I was saying in the Discord, it is deceptive mentally, because in my head I'm like, oh, it doesn't take that long. But it definitely, like, if you have a good run, it's easily like 45 minutes. And I seed my time. Loop Hero, game of the year. Go check it out.
Seed my time.
Fridge, what you been playing, my dude?
So I beat Honey Pop 2. Nothing more to say about that. Good Christian values.
Really shining through there. Matsuhiro Sakurai loves it.
Nothing really else to say about that one.
Coming soon to Smash Brothers, Honey Pop.
That'd be awesome.
Honey from Honey Pop. Is that the character's name? I don't know.
No, it's Q. K-Y-U. It's a Q or Q.
K-Y Jelly, yeah.
That's probably the pun.
That's probably it.
Other than that, put about, I think, around 40 hours into Bravely Default 2.
Nice.
Ooh, nice. Oh, wow.
To sum that one up decently quickly, I mean, for a game like that, you know, a turn-based party JRPG, the most important thing I'm looking for is whether the combat is fun and has depth to it. And it does in this game, which is good, because that's the most important thing. Because if it didn't have that, I wouldn't say this game has too much else going for it. I mean, it looks decently pretty. The voice casting is more endearing than I thought it would be. And the music's fine, but the plot is lazy. Mm. Like, I don't typically expect JRPGs to always have amazing plots, but the plot of this game is just straight lazy. You could literally, it's chapter one of how to write a JRPG. Every death flag's obvious, every betrayal is obvious, every plot twist is obvious. It is straight lazy writing, and that's disappointing.
I did note when the first two characters join your party, it's like you're on a beach and they're like, hey, we're joining your party. And that's the whole conversation. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Is there a character that literally says Murgerger when they get mad?
The one other thing I didn't want to talk about is I know a lot of the criticism for the game was people thought it was a little too difficult. And that was one of the criticisms of the demo. It's not that the game's difficult. It's just that bosses are super freaking gimmicky. Beating a lot of them is just wasting endless amounts of time. Because enemies have counters. Will be like, anytime you hit them with a physical attack, they counter. If you hit them with a magical attack, they have a different counter. And like, this one dude had a counter, well, if I hit him with an ability, he just stole my MP. So the boss was just 40 minutes of me throwing elixirs at my healer. Just 40 minutes of chucking elixirs at my healer. Or someone 40? Else. With a
40 minutes?
It felt like it. I wasn't timing myself. It felt like 40 minutes of just chucking elixirs.
Jeezle.
I could make like, a run of loop here in that time.
Shut up.
And then, you know, there was another boss who, you know, had a bunch of... his counter would cast Contagion, which is the, you know, MP version of poison. So once again, that's another 30. I left Grinded and beat him really easily. But again, it was still like 10 minutes of just chucking elixirs. Or if they have a counter that causes a status effect, 20 minutes of just throwing, you know, anti-paralysis items. So I don't think the game's hard. I just think the bosses are designed to be so unbearably frustrating. And that you can beat them, but it's just repeating the same setup of strategies. Like I wish I could just like program a set of moves for my team and then do a Final Fantasy 12 gambit system.
The gambit system, yes!
And put it all in, then leave. Because that's how you beat the bosses in Bravely Default 2. You just figure out what your set of moves is and just repeat them ad nauseum.
So there's literally no like variants. They just do a thing.
No, once you figure out your strategy, you don't ever need to change it. You just need to do it 8 million times until you whittle away their health bar.
Sheesh.
But again, luckily, I love job system JRPGs. This game is in it. That's what's good about this game. Most of the jobs provide something interesting, and there's a lot of combinations you can try and pull to make a cool balanced party. So that part of it's good. The 78 it has on our fantasy league is probably about where I'd put it. It's like a 7, and it's like a 7.5 or an 8 for me. Probably a 7.5. That story is so bad. And then the only other thing I've been playing is Gnazia, which if you don't know, I know, right? Gnosia. It is
I thought that was like Gnosia.
I don't know. Gnosia, Gnosia, Gnosia.
I've seen it. No idea how to pronounce it. Yeah,
exactly. Basically, it is a single player visual novel that plays like a game of Among Us or Mafia.
Ooh.
And it's a really, really interesting concept because basically the game is just replaying tons of loops while you're on this spaceship. And there are a number of creatures called Gnosia that are trying to just infect and kill everyone else. And so it's really just a constant series of loops replaying a game of Mafia against NPCs.
Interesting.
And it's a very weird concept, but they pull it off actually surprisingly well. They throw you a little bit in the deep end by just like tossing a lot of mechanics at you quickly. Because there's a lot of hidden statistics you're trying to balance as you play this. You know, you can't tell how much everyone trusts you or how smart everyone thinks you are. But you're trying to, like, you know, balance all these hidden statistics. You don't want to stand up too much. You don't want to stand out too much because the monster will kill you. But if you don't talk too little, everyone gets scared of you and put you in cold sleep. If you talk too much, they hate you and put you in cold sleep. And, you know, there's roles. Someone serves as an engineer. Someone serves as a doctor. And you can, you know, and you get to, and every loop, you can, after a while, it lets you choose whether you want to be a crew member, an engineer, a doctor, or one of the aliens. So it's really just constantly replaying a game of Mafia in a visual novel form. I have to say, so far, it's pretty good. Every loop literally takes like 10, 15 minutes. I've only sat down like 3 times and I'm on like loop 27 or something because they go by so quickly, especially if you fuck up really early and just get murdered on the first night. I keep getting put in cold sleep because my character's charm is really low. So no one, like, so whenever I start talking, everyone goes, ugh, main character, shut the fuck up, we hate you. And they put me in cold sleep.
And I go, yeah. That's incredible.
I literally knew who all the aliens were, but if I talk, you guys hate me.
Back in your box.
That's so funny.
Joe in the chat says Geonosis is his favorite Star Wars planet. Glad they named it after that.
Hey. That's a really good joke. That's a really good joke. Yeah, no, fuck you, Chris. It's a great joke.
Nothing about episode two is good. Except the hatred of sand.
That's all I got.
How about you, Chris?
Speedrun. Okay, let's see. I've got back into Valorant, CS Goverwatch, as some call it. Hey, that game, I loathed the closed beta. I mean, I played like probably day of it and was like, nope, not good. And I'm back in, it's feeling a ton better. I like a lot of the changes they've made, primarily that characters' abilities can't kill you. Like they can, but like it's very few and far between, because playing the beta and like, you know, it's CSGO. You get killed by a gun. That's how it works. And like certain characters can just say, I don't need to know how to aim. Molotov cocktail. Like that's bad. That's bad for the video game. So the fact that has been vastly, vastly, vastly reduced is very good. Valorant is, despite my original thoughts, actually a pretty good game, and I'm very much enjoying it.
It's
so
pretty
far.
Good. I've played it too.
Yeah. The other thing, the other Riot Games IP that is currently taking all of my time is Legends of Runeterra. I got back in with the Shurima expansion, and hey, it's still the best card game that exists currently. Color me shocked. It's good. The new expansion's good. I mean, after the infamous KDA patch that they then had to roll back because they made a bunch of really bad cards, and then everyone was like, what the fuck is this? You were doing so good for so long. And they backed down. And then here we are. And once again, yes, it has returned its throne as being better than Magic the Gathering. While Hearthstone sits in the corner and slowly, slowly dies. I mean, it doesn't die because the whales in that game are actual insane people who spend thousands and thousands of dollars on that game per expansion.
Hearthstone will never die.
The average cost, by the way, for all the cards in expansion in that game is like $800.
Yeah, that sounds right. Believe it.
It's a purely digital card game. That's like what it costs to get a full set in Magic. Real card game.
Yeah.
A real card game.
Freaking Hearthstone, man. But yes, Legend of Runeterra, very good. New expansion fun. I mean, honestly, the way that they work in the League of Legends champions in that game and give them all a relatively unique feel and like scheme is really cool. And also, the art in that game is gorgeous. Every time I see a new card, I'm like, wish we were still doing that League D&D show.
What was that called again? I forgot.
Don't check our channel. It doesn't even work. And then I just want to mention, also I'm playing Valheim, but not so much. That game's great. But I haven't played enough of it to really say anything since the last time we did the show. But I do want to talk about one thing we played on stream with Subpixel, which is Turning Point Fall of Liberty. The stream. Only video game featuring Dan Carson. It's an Xbox 360 era first person shooter set in an alternate history where Churchill died. So therefore, not only did the Nazis defeat all of Europe, they also have future tech.
It sounds terrible.
It's awful. So it's awful, but it's amazing. it's a game that has so much confidence in itself, and none of it is warranted. it's real rough. The main character is picked up by like the army man to come help just because he happens to have a gun at the time. They don't explain anything. It's literally no time to explain. Get in.
Oh, you have a gun? Great, you're coming with us.
It's like, how do you know he's not on the enemy side? What? Okay, sure. You're now our most trusted official. Come help the president.
It's bad.
It's amazing. And the only other thing, and this is a minor teaser for a far off project, is I downloaded and opened for the first time RPG Maker XP. Yes. Oh boy, this is a lot of menus.
Yeah, RPG Maker is just like that. You are correct.
Yep.
Oh man,
I do remember my RPG Maker days.
I own one of them. I must have got it in a bundle or something because I never opened it. VX apparently is the one I own. But it costs $25 to get XP, and I need it for a thing that will eventually come to the channel. Don't put a time on that. It'll be probably forever.
2023.
Okay. Well, I hope it's before then. But yes, that is a thing. And oh my God, it's just menus.
Menus all the way down.
What else would it be? It's a game maker.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a game maker thing. It's just menus.
Like, man, they don't front load you at all with like, hey, maybe try setting down a couple tiles first. You know what's going on. It's just like, nope, here's the menus. Figure it out yourself, asshole.
Have fun. Oh God. All right. For me, I got to the end of Mario 3D World as much as I care to play it. I finished. I apparently only had one more level left. So I finished the like boss rush level at the end of the third bonus zone. And to get to the last part, you have to 100% the rest of the game, which I'm not doing. So I'm not doing the last part. So done with that. Played Bowser's Fury. Bowser's Fury, much more fun than 3D World. Bowser's Fury, much better. The frequency with which Bowser shows up can fuck off at points. Apparently it's like random. Like every 6 to 15 minutes he shows up. And like, what? Seriously, fuck off, Nintendo. Like, like it takes more than 6 minutes to get some of the stars. And I'm just like, really? Get out of here, Bowser. I don't want to deal with you. But besides that, though, the whole section was fun. Even the parts where you like use Bowser when he comes down all angry kaiju form. You need him to like fire breath certain points to unlock them to get like all the stars, which was pretty cool.
Can you invoke him when you need him for that? Or is it
no timer? Timer. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's only timer. Which I really, there were like five stars, or not five, there's like 15 stars at the end, like when I had beat the section, like the game, when it was like I had 15 left to 100%. So I was like, oh, okay, there's only 100 total. I'll do the last 15. And the last five are only available when Bowser is on the map, and you can only get one at a time because as soon as you get a star, or I guess it's a shine in this game, he leaves. So I would just get a shine, AFK for 10 minutes, come back when Bowser's wreaking havoc, grab another shine, AFK for 10 minutes. So that was dumb. And you can only get those shines once you beat the main part of Bowser's Fury 2, so there's no chance to get them earlier. So that was dumb. But overall, very positive on Bowser's Fury. I think people are overhyping Bowser's Fury compared to like Odyssey. They're like, oh, this is the new way Nintendo's going to do like 3D Mario games. It's really no different from the other ones. You just have to travel to get to the sections instead of teleporting through a hub world. That's it. So I don't super care if they go with this one or the other one. Actually, I do. Performance not great on Bowser's Fury. When Bowser showed up, shit kind of chugged for me.
On the Nintendo Switch, I never.
So honestly, I would rather have the old way because it didn't chug. Joe corrects me in the chat. If you have a Bowser amiibo, you can trigger it. Fuck off. Not you, Joe. Nintendo. That's on Nintendo. Not you. You're
that's
cool.
That's so awesome.
A literal beneficial thing in the game that you can buy in an amiibo. I fucking hate all of that.
Amiibo.
I continue.
Refuses to learn.
Yeah, they can fuck off. I continued to play Tales of Phantasia. Now that I'm 25 hours in, game doesn't suck anymore. That's all I have to say about that.
Wow. Okay.
Is it good? No. It's better. I'm liking the story, which is making up for the rest of the parts. It just took like 15 hours of doing nothing to get to the decent part of the story. So,
oh, wow.
Now that I'm 25 hours in, it's okay. It's not a great endorsement of anything.
It's not supposed to be.
This show is pretty bad, but on season 4, it gets pretty good.
Oh, it's
season 4 of 13 is pretty okay.
Let me be very clear. This is not a positive endorsement of the game. And lastly, last night, actually, I started the last campfire after we talked about it on either during or after around the monitor. Hello Games' most recent game. Let me tell you, if you want a cute, wholesome puzzle game about dying, check out the last campfire.
Play loop here.
there.
Huh?
It's not wholesome.
What'd you say, Chris?
I said, or spirit fair, not
public. Or spirit fair. That's true. No, that's true. No. It's basically, you have individual puzzles that are very reminiscent of Breath of the Wild puzzle shrines. Very similar feel on a lot of them. Similar mechanics in a lot of cases, like the magnet thing from Breath of the Wild is a key mechanic for The Last Campfire.
So you're saying like it's like close to a 10 out of 10 game, or?
No, I wouldn't go that far. It's got some of the same, because like the world is semi-open, so it's got a lot of some of the same problems as Paradise Killer that you were talking about, where it's like, okay, cool, I got this thing to do this puzzle on the opposite side of the map. Fuck. Yeah. Let me just wander over there with nothing to do, because you can't even jump in that game. Like you're an adorable little thing that looks kind of like a Korok with a cloak on it. That's very cute. Called an Ember. But you, at least at the point I'm at in the game, I have a net that I used one time and never since, and a horn that does the magnety power from Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
And I can dash. Those are the three buttons. But like the puzzles are fun. I'm having a good time with it. I'm not trying to demean it or anything. It's a fun game. If you pick it up on sale or something, I'd say go for it. If you want an actual puzzle game that's enjoyable instead of Maquette, pick up Last Campfire instead. It's not free, but it's better than a 72 in my eyes so far.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's pretty and adorable and like wholesome dark because it is about dying. It's enjoyable though. I'm having a good time. Finally getting to the topic of the show. Tastes in games changing over time, whether that is personal or in the hive mind that is gamers.
Hello, gamers.
Gamer friends.
As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I regretted it.
Yep, you said gamers.
As soon as it came out, I regretted it.
You sure did.
I think a good one to start this off, if y'all don't mind, is RTS and Grand Strategy, both at a personal and hive mind level. Because for me, I used to love RTS, and I
likewise
still sort of love Grand Strategy.
No,
could you define a Grand Strategy game or give an example?
Europa, Universalis 4, Crusader Kings.
Crusader Kings, okay, yeah.
All that, basically Paradox games at this point.
Mountain Blade.
Yeah, Mountain Blade could sort of be in there. Total War, in a sense, is Grand Strategy. And I would even, it's not Grand Strategy, but I would lump like Civ and similar games in there as well. Really just more turn-based strategy games.
Yeah.
All of those have both fallen out of favor for most gamers in general, as well as me. And I'm curious what all of your thoughts are as to why, because I have personal ones.
I got into strategy games with Age of Empires 1 and 2. Adored those games. That transitioned into playing a ton of Brood War when I was whatever age I was when Brood War happened. And that transitioned to StarCraft 2. And I remember when StarCraft 2 was the esport, when it was the game everyone cared about for esports, I was in it. I loved it. I got to grind it to gold. And like, that's something like I hate grinding in RTSs because games are so flip flop.
They're long too.
A lot of times. And they can be very long, especially in early StarCraft 2 before they kind of streamline some shit. I think the biggest problem that RTSs face and why they don't remain popular is that at the end of the day, they're designed for 1v1s and most people want to play with their friends.
See, I think that's part of it. One of the biggest things for me, this is true of all strategy games, not just RTS, which is why I think the whole genre struggles at times, is the barrier to entry for strategy games is so high. Yes. And as soon as you throw multiplayer in it, it's crazy high barrier to entry. It's like, I am sure most of you remember if you played StarCraft as a kid, going into Battle.net, joining some random like free-for-all 4-player, 8-player games and just getting your fucking teeth kicked in. By these people who were far better because they were A, older than you because you were 8 or 10 or whatever. And B, much more intelligent than you. And C, had played the game more than you. And it's I almost feel it's a lot easier to get into, not almost, it is a lot easier to get into like a shooter or something where you can rely on reflexes. It's not all mental and knowledge of the game. Whereas in RTS, it is not entirely. It is mostly knowledge of the game and mental capacity. And then if you have high APM, congrats, you can climb the ladder with all three of those.
Yes. Also, strategy games infamously don't like teach you how to play multiplayer, teach you how to play the game.
They teach you how to play the single player,
And what's funny is even when I played Age of Empires 2 and I played against the computer, like against the lower difficulty, I could win very easily. But if I upped the difficulty like one thing higher, I would just get obliterated. Because there's a barrier to entry, and it's very hard to just get better at those games. Like, once you hit a wall, it feels like that's it. That's as good as you're getting at an RTS.
Yeah.
And it truly does suck to try and get better at an RTS.
Yeah.
It's a brutal process.
I mean, a lot of it's, in modern times, it's doing research online to like, oh, what are good build paths for the race or class or country I'm playing as, and then executing perfectly and being able to adjust to like,
I miss when I didn't know what the hell a meta was. When I just when I could play a competitive game and not care. Oh my god, that was the golden era of youth.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of true. Like, metas definitely completely have changed multiplayer games. The fact that we can communicate easily online.
Yeah.
And easily get to websites now that are entirely dedicated to finding what a meta is and showing it to players.
You can just type in any game and meta, and you will find five websites with here's the breakdown of today's patch, everything you need to know.
Whereas before, like, there was a little bit of that, but it was like, oh, you had to go to this obscure random guy who's sort of famous in the competitive community's forums.
Yeah, but who's famous on this forum?
You had to go forum digging. That's what you had to do. You had to go digging through forums.
Well, and even then, I remember for Battlefield 2, which I'll bring up later for a different thing, competitive metas and stuff weren't on the official forums. You had to find the forums for the groups that played in the competitive metas or in competitive scene, go to their forums and look for the players discussing how they play with other people. And that's if you're lucky and it wasn't a private forum for the team. Whereas now it's like, you can just Google it for like any game in existence.
Real people know about going to event hubs in 2008 and going on the forums to see who's good in this in this version of Street Fighter.
Pretty much. And that's just totally dead. It's a totally dead thing. And I think that's almost killed RTSs in a way too, because it's become more of, I just look up what to do. And you can, as long as you have pretty good APM and you know what to do, you can climb pretty easily in an RTS.
Also, I think that like with the rise of MOBAs, I mean, like League has an insane barrier to entry. There's 155 characters. Like that's ungodly.
Yes.
But because there's so much discourse on it, and it is the most popular game in the world again, and like at this point, like it facilitates that same feeling you get of playing an RTS well, where your APM is high and you're doing all your movement, all your abilities and crap like that. And you don't also have to like manage your base and stuff like that. And of course, playing multiplayer, like it's the niche that RTS has filled has kind of been eaten by MOBAs. And I wish it hadn't been.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of the case, though.
I agreed.
I don't know about if I wish it had.
I agree that it has been eaten by MOBAs. I'm kind of glad it's been eaten by MOBAs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that I wish it had.
I like MOBAs better.
I do like MOBAs better, that's true.
I like
them. Yeah, you're right.
I like them equally.
I'm glad RTS is dead, but like, if I had to pick one of the two to be popular, I'd pick MOBAs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like I like them relatively equally, but like, as a new player coming in for a MOBA, you can just focus on a couple characters and learn those, and you're fine.
That's very true.
Like, yeah, if you're gonna go like crazy high and competitive, you have to learn what everyone else is doing. But if you have a mastery of knowledge for one or two characters, you can do extremely well as a one trick. Unless Riot like completely destroys your champion or expand all the time. Yes. But
And there's also that like feeling of discovery when you get hit with a new ability in a MOBA. You're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah,
that's like kind of, it's like a weird serotonin rush.
Yeah,
it's true. Every time a new champion comes out,
got wrecked. What the fuck?
Viego happens, and not only do you not understand what happens, the player playing Viego doesn't know what happened.
That's pretty true. Talking about like dumping hundreds or thousands of hours into a game to actually play it, how are you all with games as a service now in modern times and in the past? Because I know personally my taste in like service games has changed wildly in the past few years.
I'm trying to think of like games as a service type games that I've played over the years. I mean, I guess technically
even just like multiplayer Diablo games too. Multiplayer games that you're like putting tons of hours in. I think that's
would you count subscription based games like MMOs?
Yeah.
Oh, I think 100%.
Yeah. I mean, look, me and Hayo are the RuneScape boys around here. Like, I mean, I've dumped probably thousands of hours across like when I was a dumb kid running around and then playing old school RuneScape. I think I actually really like games as a service. I like battle passes. I like subscription based games in general because it's the kind of thing where it's like I am paying this much for this experience, and as soon as that experience isn't what I want it to be anymore, I just pull the plug on it.
Mm.
That's true. Do you feel while you're in there that you like have to play to get your money's worth, sort of thing?
With certain games, yes. Final Fantasy 14 is an example of that, where when I was playing through it with like some friends of mine that all got into it, we all like joined a guild, all that jazz. I was having an absolute blast, and like I felt like I could not get enough of it. Like it was not only was it justifying the cost I was paying for it, it was like doing it multiple times over, to the point where when I got to end game and I was like, well, I have to like, you know, wait to do my weeklies to get ready to do it, to get up to do a raid. I didn't feel bad about it because I was like, oh, okay, well, this is cool. I'm still like, you know, I'm still working on it. Also, that game has a fantastic progression system. But by the time I got like, and like that effect did dwindle over time to where it was like, well, I'm not going to resub because I don't really care. I don't want to get on to have to do all my crap again. And I think that's the biggest thing with games and service games. Like when we were all younger, we were playing MMOs, it was infinite. There was so much stuff to do that like it was impossible to ever do everything. Because, you know, we're dumb kids. But like now it's like, well, I mean, once I've already discovered everything, or once I've done all the stuff, unless the content stream is quick, what's keeping me here? Which is why Battle Passes have perfected that, basically. It's like, as soon as you're done, here's another one.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Because like I put 3,000 plus hours probably into WoW.
Jesus.
I put a lot of time into WoW. But like I had a lot of the same things as you, where when I maxed out a character, like, hey, I was raid geared, my guild had already like cleared a raid for the week. Unlike you, where I'm like, oh, cool, I can stop. I did my weeklies, I did my raids and all that. I'm like, well, I'm paying money for this subscription.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna level another character. to the point where like I had three or four characters that were geared for like raid progression.
I was gonna argue kind of the opposite of Chris, where I feel like, you know, when I was younger, where I did have more disposable time, less disposable income, but more disposable time.
Yes.
I feel like I would totally be down to play, you know, these big online experience games that are so prevalent now. Whereas now I'm like, I don't play League anymore because I'm just like, listen, I can't be bothered to invest that much time. And again, if you don't play ranked in League, then like whatever, like it very much is what you make of it. You can kind of just pop in, pop out with your friends. But like, I would rather drink bleach than try and get into a game that has like huge progression. Yeah. And you have to sink in, like when people are like, I have to do my dailies, I'm like, wow, I'd rather fucking die. That's great. I'm happy for you though.
Well, that's and I was gonna go into that. That's how I feel now. Like I used to not have trouble dumping 40 hours into a game a week.
Yeah.
And same.
And now it's like, I don't want to do that. Like I've much more changed from finding a few games to dump hundreds, if not thousands of hours into to now. Oh, you know what? I'll play a game for 4 hours. And if it's over, cool, I'll just get it, like move to a new thing. And it's a total shift from the way I used to be. Like I put like 3,000 hours into WoW. I put like 1,000 hours into Battlefield 2. I was playing that game competitively. I was, when I was thinking about this topic, I went and looked up stats and I was like, Jesus, I played this game a lot. And like, I used to put hundreds of hours into RTSs and grand strategy games. And now I have totally shifted to the opposite end where I'm like, ooh, man, this game takes more than 15 hours. Ooh, that's a tough sell. I know, Pridge, you're entirely the opposite.
No, well, I never play games as a service games when I was younger. And I mean, like, outside of the 1 to 2 gacha games to keep my phone, I still sort of don't. It's like League and that's it. So I mean, I like longer games, but that's not really like a trend, or that's not really a trend that's changed for me or anything. I hated RuneScape, I hated WoW. I mean, I played StarCraft, but mostly for the BattleNet custom modes.
Same.
And shit like that.
Yeah,
know?
Nice. I think that kind of like this is a pretty like prevalent thing across the whole market, where it's like a lot of games are moving more towards round based or loop based in a lot of roguelikes, and like shorter, like this is how long this experience takes, so you can pick it up and put it down. Like I find myself playing a lot more match-based games, Apex Legends, Valorant, like Legends of Terror, because like I know I can play one and then, oh, I have something to do because I'm a fucking adult and I have like I have laundry and taxes. you know the daily taxes you do,
the two most important things, laundry and taxes.
Yeah, am I right, folks?
I did just do my taxes this week, so he's kind of right.
I just emailed my tax guy today, so
it's the season.
I gotta do mine probably next weekend.
But I guess we talked about strategy. What other types of game types, either personally or for the hive mind, that our players have changed for you?
I would love to talk about first person shooters. I guess kind of the decline and then like the rebirth of them, as now, you know, obviously Battle Royale has shown up, but also like hero shooters are huge right now. Like if you have a shooter game and you're just like, I'm just a guy, fuck that. you gotta have builds. You gotta have fucking unique builds for your people. Obviously back in the day, personally, huge fucking Halo fan. Who wasn't a fucking Halo fan? If you weren't a Halo fan, you were a goddamn loser. That's the facts. And now...
Yeah, get all the people that own GameCubes.
Yeah, to say, I didn't own an Xbox, so I was not a Halo fan. I was a loser.
You can get fucked. but it just... Nowadays, like, I really generally cannot be bothered to play a first-person shooter, with the exception of Apex Legends, because, again, it's free, and I could pop in and have fun with my friends. But like, even then, I don't play it religiously. It is a fun time, and it's there when I want it. But also, I'm very interested to talk about kind of how shooters have changed. Again, of like I mentioned, Battle Royale, hero shooters or class based shooters, however you want to word it. And then also, one thing I was thinking about while prepping for the show is like, you know, I think the second Halo got rid of it, was there was a time when shooters used to have life bars, and now it's just, okay, shit, the sides of the screen are getting red or dark, or like the color's fading.
The jelly is getting all over my screen.
Right, and if you
what a change.
It's so wild, because I want a fucking shooter to come back and be like, nope, you have to pick up health packs. I love the shields that Halo introduced to the genre. I love that fucking concept, but I want a fucking health bar.
I mean, how do you feel about like numerical health bars? Because every like all battle royales have that, and Valorant.
Yeah,
you know what? You're right. That's true. I do
and
like
CS:GO.
That.
Actually, I'm kind of losing steam on your bullshit.
I guess it's more of like Call of Duty thing.
Yeah,
Call
I was gonna Duty say. I think Duty. There was a phase where yeah, you're 100% right on that, Zach. But then as like BR became a thing, and as like hero shooters became more of a thing, I think there's been a shift back to actually having health bars for most shooters.
Numbers came back into being important.
Yeah,
like for a while FPSs were all about the immersion and the realness of it, and now it's like no I need to know how much damage I did to them, how much they did to me.
Now everyone's adding RPG mechanics into their shooters. Gotta know how gotta know every need game. To know what those numbers be, man.
Big number make me feel good, so I need that.
No, 100%. You see a big number, endorphins, baby.
Do you think
you just know you're winning?
Exactly. You know you're gaming.
Do you think your move away from shooters has more to do with shooters becoming multiplayer focused, or
absolutely
the mechanics? Because that's how it is for me.
For me, absolutely. I'm not gonna lie. I don't like competitive games. I like single player, and I like co-op games. So the less the single, as shooters moved away from single player stories either being lame or not existing, I moved a long way to stop caring about shooters.
Yeah. Lame is a good point there, because a lot of them kept trying and it just wasn't working.
I don't know. I think it's split for me. I mean, I still do enjoy some competitive stuff, but like, I guess you're right. Like. Immersive sims, which essentially now are all first person shooters that have RPG mechanics and single player story, is one of my favorite genres. But yeah, you put like a multiplayer mode, I'm not super into it, but man oh man, did I fucking again love the shit out of Halo back in the day, and tons of other like Xbox Live games that were I played the shit out of Counter-Strike on Xbox Live. Like, I was so into first-person shooters competitively, and then I don't know what changed in me, where I was like, nah, I'm done with this.
Yeah,
and then I got into League of Legends, and then I dropped out of League of Legends, and I'm like, I will never play competitive games.
I genuinely think the two biggest games that killed FPSs are Skyrim and League of Legends, because I know so many people that were playing Modern Warfare 2, like that was their bread and butter game, and then Skyrim came out and they stopped playing FPSs and started playing other shit, and then that spiraled into Assassin's Creed and a bunch of other crap for them. But also, like, when League came out and was free, and then every edition of Call of Duty still cost $60, every edition of Halo still cost $60, and then Battle Royale start coming out and they're also free, and to the point where COD finally caves and makes Warzone their Battle Royale, which is a separate part of the game that is 100 fucking gigs, like, free. Yeah.
I think it's more than 100 now.
when it came out though, but yeah, like the I think having a price tag did so much damage to online FPSs.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true.
Good point. That's a very good point.
That's a whole other conversation I'd love to have of like, what is the value of entertainment, and like, how have we become accustomed
battle passes.
To
it's all battle passes, cosmetics all the way down.
I think it's a the fault of mobile gaming, where now like I can't be fucking bothered to pay for a game on my phone, but I'll bitch about ads on it forever. And now it's like, well, just you better release a fucking free battle royale. Because if you dare charge me for a battle royale, I'll fucking kill you.
Well, I think at this point for me, it's less that it's a paid thing, and more that I can get into it for free.
Yeah, because like. Yeah. I can do all the stuff before I decide, is this for me?
Yeah, so like for League of Legends, I spent way too much money on that game. But I've also played probably a couple thousand hours of League over the past decade. Like, so I don't feel bad. It's one of those things where if a game is absorbing the most, like a humongous portion of my time, I don't feel bad putting money into it. Like, agreed. In the slightest. But if I pick up Call of Duty for $60 and I'm not having a good time, I'm pissed. Or if I run into a bug, I'm pissed. If it's free and there's some bugs, it's like, oh, well, I mean, they're going to fix it later. If I pay for that, I'm angry. I really do think that free-to-play thing has 100% messed with multiplayer shooters. And I hope...
Man, it's wild that people paid $60 for Fallout 76, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Think
not
about
very
that.
Many,
crazy,
not very
right?
many did, let's be real.
Anthem.
All more did for Anthem, yeah.
And I think this is going to, like, this will keep spreading to other genres as, like, one, as the one good free one comes out. Every genre will have to shift around that.
Like,
you know what's going to happen to next? Fighting games. As soon as one person puts a good free-to-play fighting game out, everyone's going to shit the bed. Arxis is going to fail to understand what's going on because they're Japanese and dumb. Capcom will sprint to make a free to play Street Fighter. It's gonna suck ass. That's exactly what's gonna happen. You can mark my words on it.
Project mark L, that, as Lost and, One and said, yeah, Project L is the one that's coming for it.
And like genuinely, it could be Project L because Riot Games like they don't care. They make a bajillion dollars, and guess what? All their games are free.
I was just gonna say, Lost from the chat says Riot's fighting game, and that's actually a really good point. But that will be the first Street Fighter game.
World in that one.
I was gonna say, I think the only game Riot is publishing that's not free so far is the new one that Airship Syndicate's making.
Yeah, and that's published, not even developed in house.
Well, and that's because it's a single player game too. It's not.
They don't make fucking RPGs. I mean, they will apparently because they're working on 80,000 games at once.
They're making an MMO right now, but
That's gonna destroy us.
Yep. We're all gonna get pulled into that, I guarantee it. Man, because like for me, I used to super be into competitive. Like Battlefield 2, I played competitively. I put 1,000 hours and I was playing in TWL and Cal tournaments online. Not winning. Damn. Wasn't that good. But playing in them. Part of that was buying it, because if you buy it and it's good, you get completely absorbed into it, just the same way as if it's free to play and it's good, you can get completely absorbed in it. It's just when it's free to play, more people are willing to try it.
See, the concept of a ranked game didn't really like ranking up in a game didn't really appeal to me until League of Legends. I love competitive games. I don't know why. I'm not a particularly competitive person in other aspects of my life, but gaming, I love competition. I mean, my second most played game of all time is Street Fighter Third Strike. I poured thousands and thousands of hours in that with my friends, just in like elementary and middle school, just sitting on my couch and just playing Street Fighter Third Strike. Like there was no ranking system. It was just like round after round of just playing the game. And then when League came out, like, got to get on that rank grind, baby.
I think a lot of that's the same way for Super Smash Brothers for a lot of people. I know I include me in that. Probably not as much time as you put into Third Strike, but like
like Mario Kart, like even Mario Party to an extent.
That's true.
I was a bad person to play Mario Party with. I got mad.
Everyone got mad playing Mario Party.
I got whiny,
unlikable person mad. I was a bit of a shit of a kid when I played video games.
That was just happy to have friends.
Oh man.
How long are we going? We're still going pretty long. Any other types of games, either personally or players, that have died out?
The MMO is basically dead. It's because they're too expensive to make.
They are way too expensive to make. That's true.
It's a shame. I love MMOs.
To be fair, MMOs have crept into a lot of other games.
Yes,
like
that's
Destiny
true.
Is honestly, from the outside looking in, Destiny's more of an MMO than a shooter.
Yeah, totally.
Division to a degree is an MMO.
Sure, who cares?
Marvel's Avengers, not that it's good, is an MMO. Like realistically, a lot of online games that you party up in are based on MMOs. Some of them would be better for it if they just admitted they were an MMO, played WoW for a few weeks, and then took a bunch of mechanics and put it in their games. For whatever reasons, Marvel Avengers can't figure out how to scale characters. play some WoW for two weeks and you'll figure that out.
And it's not like WoW is dead. Like, WoW and FF14 are just like propping up the MMO. Like, they're the two pillars that still stand. It's like, just look over there and just start stealing shit. It works for Fortnite. Just take stuff.
Like,
who cares?
Legitimately, I've been listening to some of the people from like Kinda Funny and stuff talk about playing Marvel Avengers and Destiny and Division 2 and the problems they have with those games. And I'm like, fuck, if those developers just accepted they were MMOs, played some MMOs for like a month as a team, they would fix a bunch of their problems. Because they're having a bunch of MMO problems that have been solved for a decade.
Someone else has figured it out. Just go do what they're doing.
So, how do we deal with gear and like raids? And I'm like, bruh, someone else figured it out. Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
I mean, we say this, but like RuneScape 3 came back from the fucking dead and is now like one of the like top 20 games on Steam. Because guess what? They just started stealing from WoW again.
Is it really?
That game is blowing the fuck up. Because it's actually a good game, but everyone, I don't know, there was like this thing where everyone decided that game was bad, even though it was apparently quite good the entire time, but just nobody knew.
Oh yeah, and Lost One brings up ESO as well. Like ESO is doing fantastic as well. And like, so MMOs, I don't think they're dead. I just think they've changed form to where they're
hiding.
They're hiding. Yeah. It's like the RPG where it's hiding in everything now.
Exactly.
Like now MMOs are starting to hide in all the multiplayer games.
It's true.
RPGs laid low for a few years and then came up behind Assassin's Creed and was like, hey, what are you doing over here?
They came up behind Assassin's Creed, Overwatch, Doom. Like,
it's what's his face and Henry Cavill at the fucking Oscars, like that meme.
Aquaman.
Yeah, it's just like MMOs walking up on everything, like, and it's true too, because like, just start stealing from stuff, game developers. Like, that's already what you mostly do. I know, it's fine, we understand.
I'm so mad at Fortnite for like jacking shit from Apex, and like all Apex it was jack heroes from Overwatch and the battle royale system. Like, stealing is great for game dev, just take everything.
Video games are an iterative medium, like
exactly.
It's better for it.
So literally, unless you are just copying and pasting someone else's game, a la this one Stardew ripoff I've seen on Kickstarter, like, you're fine. Take pieces from a bunch of different games.
And even then, Stardew is just Harvest Moon.
Yeah. As long as you're not violating an actual patent, you're probably okay.
Just find the just find the happy medium of taking inspiration from and blatantly stealing. There's a happy medium there, I promise you. Just find it.
Well, and sometimes you could make a fucking fantastic game just by taking two games that exist and shoving them together. Like, and it's not something like, clearly no one else has done it. If you're the first developer to think of like combining these two different types of medium. Like Titanfall 2 and their campaign, it's like fucking taking a platformer and a first-person shooter and showing them together in a lot of places. Like, do that, and you can come up with something innovative by doing something completely not innovative. And we need more of that.
And I think, like, to
Sibelius Scribbles Routes.
Yes, it's so good.
Stardew is Harvest Moon,
but better because I can be gay. Yeah,
it's so good.
That's objectively true.
Yeah,
and like, which is
it's better for a lot of reasons. But
yeah. It's not just that, but
but it is one of the things that makes it better.
True.
I think like a lot of like what we see is just like sort of market growth and like how the industry progresses is typically some game comes along that is popular game plus popular game or popular game plus nostalgia. And that becomes the new big game. I mean, that's literally what happened with League of Legends.
Oh, that's literally what Fortnite is, too. Fortnite's Minecraft plus PUBG. That's what it is.
We get it. We solved the formula.
I guess it's also Minecraft technically. I was gonna say Fortnite is also sort of Fortnite plus PUBG.
Oh, that's bad. Rest in peace,
Fortnite saves the world.
Did anyone play it? No.
No. But rest in peace anyway. You tried. You tried.
You know why it failed? It didn't have Chun-Li's butt.
God. I mean, maybe
combat's Chun-Li truly saved.
Maybe. Are there now that I think about it, are there any other types of video games that are just hiding in other video games like MMOs and RPGs are?
I mean, Flash games are hiding in every game that has a mini game.
Flash games are hiding in Roblox.
That's pretty true.
I mean, every video game is technically hiding inside Roblox.
That's also true. No, I think that's part of it is that like so many, like it's become so muddled. Like the term RPG means goddamn nothing anymore because every
game is so true. That is so true.
RPG
RPG and RPG are just are worlds apart. Like JRPG means a very specific thing, but like you could tell me that Assassin's Creed Valhalla is an RPG, and I would agree with you.
It is. I mean,
exactly, it is. but at the same time, Persona 5 is a JRPG, and like these games could have literally zero similarities.
Literally zero similarities.
Oh, crafting is hiding in literally everything.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, that's
crafting
true.
Crafting isn't a game, but it might as well be.
It's too many games.
I blame Far Cry 3.
Gonna say, what game started that?
Game started adding too many crafting things?
Just taking crafting and putting it in everything. Like, what was the impetus for that?
It was around Skyrim. No, it was around the time of the first Last of Us and like the Tomb Raider reboot. Like that was when crafting was like popping up in every fucking game that didn't necessarily need crafting, but it was like, well, it's cool.
I'm just wondering if there was like.
Better, and sometimes it was worse.
I'm wondering if there was a game that started it. There might not be, but hey, maybe that's a different topic for a different time too. All right. Anything else before we go ahead and close out?
I would love to posit this question: what trend do you think we'll see rising next, or dying next?
Oh, battle royales are crawling to the grave.
I think they'll stick around for another 5
years. No. That's why I say crawling. Like they're not there yet, but they're working their way there. The MOBA is dead except for League. League is an unkillable entity.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
That's pretty true.
Lost One says card games are dead. I kind of agree with that.
I mean, I would agree with you if like if Legends of Runeterra and Magic Arena weren't like actually raking in money constantly.
Counterpoint.
Wait, I can't wait Artifact. Till card games are dead.
Neither can I.
Also, like card games will always sprout up in other stuff like Slay the Spire. Like it's you can always force a card game.
For sure. Mechanics will not go away.
When
card games cannot die faster for me. They literally cannot die faster. Fast enough. Sorry, not faster. Cannot die fast enough.
Austin says party games, and I assume by that you mean couch co-op, because yes.
Oh, yeah, that's long since been a reality.
See,
party games still exist.
I think they're sort of coming back though.
Yeah,
like I mean, you've got Hazelight's new game. Was it Two of Us or something like that?
But that's not a party game as much as a co-op experience. Co-op experiences have found a niche, which I'm very glad for because I enjoy it greatly.
True. I'm hella excited for fucking It Takes Two.
Yeah, It Takes Two. That's what I was trying to get the name.
So
of. Thank you.
For that game. We should stream that.
Oh, 100%.
And then like but like party games outside of Mario Party and Jackbox, what is there?
Well, and even Mario Party, the last one was really not good.
Last one was good.
The Switch one?
Yes. It was almost a return to form. The last
Wii U one was bad.
Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Switch one I just hated because the online sucks, but that's just a Nintendo problem.
That's just the glory of Nintendo, online, baby.
I'm also
like, I live in the future. Let me play online. Like, what is this?
It's a Mario Party.
I don't know that there's anything that's really at death's door right now.
A lot of things have died and managed to come back. FPSs I thought was a dead thing. I thought like COD would always exist because it's COD. I thought Battlefield was dead. I thought Halo was dying. And then all those kind of like found their way to come back.
Yeah.
And Counter-Strike is Counter-Strike.
Well, yeah.
Chad is saying that the new Mario Party is not online at all, David.
No, you can play online. It's just fucking horrible.
Huh.
Like, you can't. I don't think you can play the normal mode online. You can play like individual mini games. It's fucking stupid.
Chat's saying you can. Oh, just
there we go.
Then why the fuck would you play that?
That's my point. That is exactly my point. Why make that on? Why even add online at that point?
Why would you do that?
It's like, I got that pretty close to release, and a couple of friends did too, because they were like, oh, it has online capabilities. And then we fucking went to do it, and we're like, oh, we can play mini games. This is the worst mistake we've ever made.
Again, I don't understand, you know, what the power that would have to go into developing that, but I imagine it wouldn't be that.
It's not
bad,
that hard.
Right?
It's not that hard. It's really not. Like, everyone what? Else has figured it out. Nintendo's incapable.
It's because you'll fucking buy it anyway, and they don't care.
Yeah. I mean, they also did mislead a lot on that one.
Spill scribbles and chances, or I'm hoping they make a Mario Party 2 or 3 online ROM hack like they did with Mario 64. I'm pretty sure they have. Pretty sure they have.
I'm pretty sure that exists. There's also...
I got the files. I know a guy. Don't worry about it.
There's a few Mario Party copies that exist that have online. There's one on Steam that's like pirate theme that I can't remember the name of.
Right. Ooh, now that's like this dream drunk Mario Party ripoffs.
Oh, it's I've watched other people play it. It's very entertaining because it's a lot more of being a dick to people than Mario Party. So it's very it's ripe for salt.
Mario Party always had the vague like notion of being a dick to children. So like I'm glad this game is like
yes, Pummel Party. Wait. Thank you, chat. Pummel Party.
Oh yay! That sounds familiar.
I've watched people play it. It looks very fun. It's much more violent than Mario Party. And very entertaining. You can literally just like shoot people on the map.
With a gun.
Oh. Yes.
Oh. The power of gun.
I'm pulling this up.
You can like hit him with a rocket and blow people up. It's very entertaining. We should totally play it at some point. But yeah, I literally don't think anything other than MOBAs are really dying at the moment. MOBAs are, I don't even say dying. MOBAs are dead except for League, like Chris
said. Yeah, MOBA is now a one genre game. Oh, Auto Chess. Auto Chess is dead. It does like it had a 30 seconds of sunlight and then it was put back in.
People
the
realized it wasn't a fucking game, yeah.
Basically. and Team Vitatic survives because it is in the client.
Actually, yeah.
I don't see near as many people playing it anymore either. I think it's.
I mean, it's people still play it though.
It's still pretty popular. It doesn't get good like Twitch numbers, but they recently released like reports on how people are actually playing the mode, and it's still a very high number.
Hey man, it's still beating Hearthstone on Twitch right now as we speak.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say card games. So. I do feel like card games are on a decline though.
Actually, it's beating Overwatch and it's almost beating Among Us.
Because Overwatch is a bad game, and I personally don't think watching Among Us is that fun.
It was Twitch bait for a while, but now it's not.
Yeah, it's the hype has died down.
Yep.
All right. Anything else before we cut the show?
Loop Hero.
Racing games are dead. I don't care.
Oh, actually, yeah, that is a good one. Racing games are kind of dead. There's Forza.
I don't know anything about those.
I mean, there's Forza, and then there's some Sims, and that's it.
Can we also pour one out for rhythm games? Those have been dead for a while.
Oh, but... yeah, that's pretty true.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
No, because I can't afford the peripherals to pour shit out on top of.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Just pour some out on your desk, man. Lost one. I mean, Os is good. Beat Saber's great.
God bless you, Os.
There's two rhythm games that matter right now. That's it. That's
and one requires you to own VR, an expensive peripheral, and one is best played with a like Wacom drawing tablet, it's an true. Expensive peripheral. Just buy a guitar like Zach is currently holding.
I mean, I play Os with a mouse and it's fine.
Os is fine with a mouse.
Os is great. Also, Os is largely illegal, so
yes,
there's that.
I love that the game comes with like three legal songs, and the rest is like, I don't know, pirate it. I don't care.
I'm a pirate.
Oh, God. Well, this has been our show. Zach, play us out. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Follow us. Go ahead, Zach.
Keep going.
Okay. I was going to say, follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We're Save Data Team everywhere. Check out our YouTube channel if you're not already. If you're listening on podcast services or you would like to listen on podcast services, we are there as well. Search up Save Data Cast or Around the Monitor. Rate those if possible on the platform or like literally anything. Follow on Spotify if you got that. It helps us out tremendously. So we would appreciate that. Any other plugs?
Zach, staring in the darkness of his 30s, would like to play a song for us.
Here's the news. Oh, here's the news. Let's talk about news. Here's the news.
What's the news show?
Literally anything else would have been better.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was funny. I guess that's our show.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. See you again in a couple weeks.
Goodbye.